If you would, please open in your copy of God's Word to Joshua in chapter 29. We've come now to the last chapter of that second major section in the book of Joshua, running from chapters 13 to 21. Let us give our attention and our careful thinking as we hear now from God's Word. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came near to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, "The Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with their common lands for our livestock." So the children of Israel gave to the Levites from their inheritance, at the commandment of the Lord, these cities and their common lands. Now the lot came out for the cities of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, who were of the Levites, had 13 cities by lot from the tribe of Judah, from the tribe of Simeon, and from the tribe of Benjamin. The rest of the children of Kohath had 10 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Ephraim, and from the tribe of Dan, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh. And the children of Gershon had 13 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, and from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. The tribe of Merari, according to their families, had 12 cities from the tribe of Reuben, from the tribe of Gad, and from the tribe of Zebulun. And the children of Israel gave these cities with their common lands by lot to the Levites, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. So they gave from the tribe of the children of Judah, and from the tribe of the children of Simeon, these cities which are designated by name, which were for the children of Aaron, one of the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi, for the lot was theirs first. And they gave them Kirjath Arba, which was Arba was the father of Anak, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah, with the common land surrounding it. But the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. Thus to the children of Aaron, the priest, they gave Hebron with its common land, a city of refuge for the slayer, Libnah with its common land, Jatir with its common land, Eshtemoah with its common land, Halon with its common land, Debir with its common land, Ain with its common land, Jatah with its common land, and Beth Shemeth with its common land, 9 cities from those 2 tribes, and from the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its common land, Geba with its common land, Anathoth with its common land, and Almon with its common land, 4 cities. All the cities of the children of Aaron, the priests, were 13 cities with their common lands. And the families of the children of Kohath, the Levites, the rest of the children of Kohath, even they had the cities of their lot from the tribe of Ephraim. For they gave them Shechem with its common land in the mountains of Ephraim, a city of refuge for the slayer, Gezer with its common land, Kibzaim with its common land, and Beth Horon with its common land, 4 cities. And from the tribe of Dan, Elteca with its common land, Gibbethon with its common land, Ajalon with its common land, and Gathrimmon with its common land, 4 cities. And from the half-tribe of Manasseh, Tanakh with its common land, and Gathrimmon with its common land, 2 cities. All the 10 cities with their common lands were for the rest of the families of the children of Kohath. Also to the children of Gershon of the families of the Levites, from the other half-tribe of Manasseh, they gave Golan and Bashan with its common land, a city of refuge for the slayer, and Be'eshtaroth with its common land, 2 cities. And from the tribe of Issachar, Kishion with its common land, Dabaroth with its common land, Jarmuth with its common land, and En-Ganim with its common land, 4 cities. And from the tribe of Asher, Mishal with its common land, Abdon with its common land, Helkath with its common land, and Rahab with its common land, 4 cities. And from the tribe of Naphtali, Kadesh in Galilee with its common land, a city of refuge for the slayer. Hamath-Dor with its common land, and Kartan with its common land, 3 cities. All the cities of the Gershonites, according to their families, were 13 cities with their common lands. And to the families of the children of Merari, the rest of the Levites, from the tribe of Zebulun, Jokneam with its common land, Kartah with its common land, Dimnah with its common land, and Nahalal with its common land, 4 cities. And from the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with its common land, Jahaz with its common land, Kedemot with its common land, and Mapha'ath with its common land, 4 cities. And from the tribe of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead with its common land, a city of refuge for the slayer, Mahanaim with its common land, Heshbon with its common land, and Jazer with its common land, 4 cities in all. So all the cities for the children of Merari were according to their families. The rest of the families of the Levites were by their lot 12 cities. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their common lands. Every one of these cities had its common land surrounding it. Thus were all these cities. Thus ends the reading of God's word. And let's go to him in prayer and ask his blessing on the proclamation of it. Our gracious and heavenly Father, as we come before you, expecting to hear from your word, expecting to be reminded again of the glories that you have brought to us in Jesus Christ, we ask for your Holy Spirit to give us understanding, to help us to hear, to listen, and to not only to hear and to listen, but Father, to obey as well. For we know that your word is breathed out by you, that every word of your word is the word of God. And so, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would give us humble hearts, eager to hear and to listen, to work in our hearts and our minds that we would desire what you have commanded, and that would be the pursuit of our lives. Father, we ask for great and weighty and mighty things which we cannot accomplish ourselves. And so we rest in what Christ has done for us, your mercy and your grace to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God preserved Noah by faith. He came to Noah and told him to construct an ark, a boat on which all the animals would be taken, to preserve the life of Noah and his family and all these animals as he rained down judgment upon the earth. Everyone around Noah said he was a fool. How could you build something like this? Why would you do this? And yet God preserved Noah. As the Apostle Peter says in his second letter, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. And he continues later on in this letter, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God preserves his people by faith. In the book of Joshua, we have heard God demonstrating his faithfulness over and over and over again. And this chapter brings us to the same thing. In chapters 1 through 12, we heard that God fought for Israel as he led them through Joshua into the promised land, where they conquered by faith. Now, as I said already this morning, we're finishing up this second major portion of the book of Joshua. God arranges the land for Israel. They must possess it by faith. This last chapter, as we have just heard, deals with these cities provided to the Levites, the priests and the Levites. The priests were tasked with running the things of the sacrifices, the worship of God there in the tabernacle and later in the temple. And the Levites, the rest of the family of Levi, were helping the priests in this worship. As we've heard so many times in this book, the point of these Levitical cities, these names that we don't know, that we're not familiar with, that we've just heard again in our hearing, what is the point of these cities? They display God's faithfulness. God had promised this for the Levites, and then he had commanded Israel to provide it for them, And now God has provided. And Israel needs to hear this over and over and over. God's faithfulness. To be reminded that God will accomplish what he promises. We need to hear about Jatir and Eshtemoa and Halon. We need to hear about these cities because our faith is weak. And so often we ignore the means that God has given to strengthen our faith. By faith, the Levites received these cities and the pasture land that came with them as God commanded in order to fulfill the obligation in the land to preserve Israel under the old covenant. And we'll get to that in the sermon. But this is another picture for us, showing us in these cities given to these Levites that God preserves by faith. That's what we're hearing this morning. Now, the section that we've just read, verses 1 down through 42, could be divided up into four sections, and then it would be five if you added on verses 43 through 45. So in verses 1 through 3, you get the request. In verses 4 through 8, you get the lot that's cast for them. And then verses 9 through 40, you get the names and the number of all the cities listed out for us. And then verses 41 through 42 provides a summary for this section. I'm not going to structure the sermon that way. We're actually going to take the sermon in two points this morning. So verses 1 through 3 and then 41 through 42 we'll take together. And that's where we hear about the faith of the Levites. And then verses 9 through 40, the purpose of the Levites in the land, why God has them scattered all over the land. So the faith of the Levites, the purpose of the Levites, again, to demonstrate to us from God's word that God preserves by faith. How should we live so that God will preserve us? How do we live as Christians? What is this chapter teaching us, communicating to us? Well, as I said before, verses 1 through 3 and 41 through 42, that first section will be our first point. And it shows us that we must live by faith. This is how God preserves us. We must live by faith. As the Levites come here at Shiloh, here in the land of Canaan, this is not simply a request. It's more than that. So they simply asked for what God had commanded, but they're trusting that all God's commands are good and true. They only seek what God had promised them, nothing more. And yet in this, they are trusting that God is faithful and accomplishes what he promises. They rely on the covenant that was made. The listing of the name of Moses is not just, we'll throw Moses in here. It's a reminder that they are under this covenant that God had made with them through Moses, and they're trusting that this covenant will continue because God is faithful. This comes at the end of this section because it's more than just simply their turn. They come to Joshua, to this faithful leader of the people. They come to the civil and religious leaders of Israel, trusting the rulers that God has placed over the people. And they come to Shiloh, the place where God's people are gathered together, the place where God has chosen at this time to put his name, where God will be worshipped. And they ask simply that God's command be kept. The summary in verses 41 through 42 gives us this as well. It's an echo back to Numbers 35. If you want to take some time this week to go back and read Numbers 35, that's where this command is listed, where God says, set aside these cities for these Levites. Have you ever promised something to someone, and then they remind you of the promise, and then they remind you, and you start to get a little frustrated? I said I would do it. Just wait and let me do it. God's not like that. He doesn't get annoyed when we ask him, please do what you said you would do. God promised Israel that when they turned and repented of trusting in false places of security, of their false worship, that he would restore them. We hear this in the Psalms. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. He's saying God's promise back to him. When Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem, he prayed, Now therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, what you have promised him. He's reminding God of what God promised. God is not annoyed when we say his promises back to him. And this is what the Levites are doing here. God, you promised us these cities, and they come before Joshua to receive these cities. This is a reminder of faith. Where did this section begin? With the faith of Caleb. And what did we have in the middle of this section? The faith of the daughters of Zelophehad. This section of allotment started with the story of Caleb taking Hebron by faith. It continued with the story of Zelophehad's daughters claiming their father's inheritance by faith. And it closes with the Levites coming in faith to receive what was promised to them. We must hear this passage teaching us about the towns and about the pasture land which God gave to the Levites. We must not miss that. And there's even a direct application of this in the New Testament. Hear what the Apostle Paul says. Let me start with Numbers 35. God, through Moses, commanded that the Levites were, and their towns and their pasture land, that this is how they would provide for their families. Okay, so these cities, this is how they will provide for this family. Here's the application. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple? And those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings. In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. We must support the work of the ministry here at our church. We must support the worship of God here in this place by providing financially from what God has given to each of us. But we must not stop there. We must hear more than just a physical allotment of land to Levites. Here the Spirit again demonstrates that blessing comes by faith. Israel needed this reminder if they were to stay in the land. But more than this, Israel needed this reminder over and over and over again to teach them of the Messiah, to teach them of the one who would come. And we need to be reminded of this as we wait for Christ to return when he comes again. So we live in the same way. We receive God's blessing by the same method, in faith, laying hold of what God has promised to us. We must hear the command to worship on this day, by faith hearing, by faith baptized, by faith praying, by faith singing, by faith eating and drinking of the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God has commanded us. This is what God has promised to bless. This is what we must do by faith. This is more than just an example. They come to Joshua for the performance of this. It is Jesus Christ who, more than Joshua ever could, brings us into our inheritance. It is Jesus who makes God our possession, our delight, our joy. Jesus makes God our inheritance. So we must live by faith. This is how God will preserve us. And then secondly, in verses 4 through 40, we must be faithful in our living. We must be faithful in our living. Why were these Levites scattered? Why give them city towns all over among the tribes of Israel? And there's three things here that God's doing with the Levites. So we're going to start to bring in some other scripture here to help us understand what's going on. The chapter shows us that God is doing this. And so that's the point that we want to get. God's faithfulness, preserving Israel by faith. But we need to know some of these other things to get the force of that in this chapter. So we're going to go through some scripture. You're welcome to turn there if you want, but if you want to simply listen or jot them down for later, that's fine as well. The first reason why they're scattered is that God is their portion. We hear this in Numbers 18 and verse 20. And the Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land." So they don't get their own tribal section. "You shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them." All right? So you don't get your own separate section. I am your portion. God made himself the portion of the Levites. I am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel. So God is their portion. Another reason why they're scattered is so that they could teach the people. That was one of the primary functions of the priests and the Levites. We often focus on the sacrifices, and that's good. We need to know that. But they also had another function in Israel, that they were to teach the law. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 10. Moses says this of the tribe of Levi. "They shall teach Jacob." So here he's bringing in all of Israel, all the 12 tribes. "They shall teach Jacob your rules, and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar." So there's that teaching function and that worship function as well. In fact, when Judah comes back to the promised land, did you notice as we were reading that the priests, where they had their cities? In the southern kingdom. So when Judah comes back from captivity, there's Levites that come with them. But Malachi, as he's prosecuting them for not fulfilling their role, this is what he says about the priests in his day, after they've already come back to the land. "For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge." That's what they were to do. "And people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction." So that was one of their tasks. They were to teach the people. The third one, the last one, is that they were to lead the people in worship. And we primarily see this with the priests, but the other Levites were helping with this as well. The priests, Aaron's family, offered the sacrifices on the altar. The rest of the Levites cared for the tabernacle, cared for the Ark of the Covenant, the table of bread, the lampstand, and assisted the priests in the sacrifices. So the priests and the Levites led the nation of Israel in their worship of their covenant Lord. Now, we don't want to stop there either, because at this point you're saying, well, I understand what's going on with the Levites, but what does that mean for me? What do the Levites, first of all, we need to consider, what do they have to do with Christ? It's fairly easy to move from the priests to Christ. We have that in Hebrews. He is our high priest. But Jesus Christ does for us what they failed to do for Israel. Jesus never fails to instruct us perfectly. Jesus teaches us the law, a right understanding of the law. And he gives us, this is what's so wonderful about what Jesus does that the Levites could never do for Israel. He puts us in a right relationship with the law. The Sermon on the Mount, over and over again, you get this phrase from Christ. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, but I say to you." You have heard wrong teaching on the law. But now I say to you, this was about your heart all along. Jesus not only leads us in a right understanding of the law, Jesus also leads us in worship. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. There's a lot going on in Hebrews chapter 2 that we're not going to have time to get into. And so I think sometimes we miss this in Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 11 and verse 12. "For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he, that is Christ, is not ashamed to call them brethren. Your Savior, when he looks at you and your life, is not ashamed to call you a brother, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Who's our song leader? It's Christ. It's Jesus Christ who leads us in worship. We heard last Sunday how the preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. And the preacher of Hebrews wants us to know that in our singing we are led by Jesus Christ. We are led by Christ in our worship of God. And we need to be thinking about Sunday that way. It's not just something that we have to do. It is something that we have to do. But our worship all the day, we are led in it by our Savior Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. So what do these scattered, law-teaching, worship-leading Levites have to do with us? We have been made priests of the living God in Jesus Christ. We should delight in learning his law. We should delight in worshiping our God. This is what Christ has given to us. And we should live by faith in Jesus Christ, our high priest. And this way, this life of faithful, holy living, and this way of living, God uses it to preserve the world around us until Christ returns. God uses this kind of living to restrain sin in the world around us. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Because God preserves by faith, we must exercise that faith. We must live by it. And we must live faithfully. Remember how this works. The Levites receive possession of their towns and pastures. This shows us the need for leadership in the law and in worship. And Jesus provides that for us in the new covenant. Now that those of us who have trusted in Christ are united to him by faith, so we follow him and in his instruction in the law. We follow him as he leads us in worship. In doing this, God is pleased to use us in our church. He is pleased to use us in our family, in our community, and in our nation for his glory. How did Israel take the promised land? By faith. How did they receive the promised land? By faith. And where we're going next, the rest of the book, is how will they stay in the promised land? Well, they must stay in the promised land by faith as well. We are preserved by faith. The method for us is the same. The object must be the same that was declared to them of old, the Christ. We must rest in the Messiah who has come, and our hope is secure in Jesus Christ, who was already judged for us, already cast out, so that we might be treated as those who have always perfectly kept the law, always perfectly worshiped God. This is what Christ has done for us, if our trust is in Him and in Him alone. As we already heard from the Apostle Peter, there is coming a day when Christ will return, when He will judge all who are in the earth, all those who have lived, all those who have died, all those who are alive when He returns. That day will not be a day of rejoicing for you if you have not trusted in Christ. If you continue to rely upon yourself, if you continue to rely upon your parents, the church where you go, the things that give you pleasure in this life, if you rely on anything else, that day will be a day of terror, indescribable terror. As long as God has His people living in the world, God will have mercy, and the gospel will continue to be preached all over the world. Now, today, while God continues to wait, turn from your sin. Turn from resting in yourself and trust in Jesus Christ. Rest in the One who perfectly kept the law. Rest in the One who always has worshiped God perfectly and will lead you in that perfect worship if you will trust Him. Rest in Jesus Christ. And if you rest in Him today, you will have peace with God. Today, God will view you as one who has worshiped perfectly and kept the law perfectly. Those who have been united to Christ have been made priests unto God. And the Holy Spirit is at work in you to preserve you and keep you. The Holy Spirit is at work in you. And He will keep you and He will preserve you. He cannot fail. This means that you have access to the Father. You have access to the Father. We're going through through Exodus and family worship right now. So we've been talking about the tabernacle. So it's in my mind. What was the veil for? It separated the people of God from God so they would not be destroyed. Their access was limited. That veil has been torn in two. And you have full and free and complete access to God in Jesus Christ. Now your work is to worship God. That's your work as a priest, to worship God. In prayer, in praises, in new covenant worship with God's people, Sunday after Sunday until Christ returns. Always seek to be learning more about God in His law. Who is Christ for you? It's revealed in the law. What has Christ done for you? It's revealed in the law. What are you now in Christ? You are the absolute perfect perfection of the law in Jesus Christ. And you will have that in its fullness when He returns. How are you to live in Him now? You are to pursue a quiet, holy, peaceful, and prayerful life. That is your job. And God will use you. He will use you to preserve the world around you until Christ returns. Do it for the glory of God. Do it out of gratitude for what Christ has done for you. God will save all of His people. Not one will be lost. He is faithful to us. It's not because we have earned it. We haven't perfectly kept the law. We haven't earned salvation. It is because God is faithful. God caused the Levites to inherit Jetir and Eshtemoah and Halon through Joshua. He will not fail to bring you to the new heavens and the new earth in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, your Savior. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for Jesus Christ. We rejoice again in our perfect Savior. What a wondrous thing that we should have him as our prophet, priest, and king, as our mediator, as the one who goes before us, in between us and you, to bring us to you, that we might have life before you in him forever. Father, we thank you for what you provided for the Levites in these towns and in these pasture lands. And we ask, Father, that you would give us grace to meditate on these things in this coming week, that we would see here again the faithfulness of God, preserving his people. Father, we ask that you would work in us by the Holy Spirit to preserve us by faith. Strengthen our faith, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.